Number one, Star Wars. Number two, comics. Number three, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Number four, Mario. Number five, Weird Al. Number six, Batman. Number seven, Kal-El. Number eight, The Simpsons. Number nine, TV. Number ten, every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out, say it all together if you're with me now. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Say nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Nerds Ruin Everything. I'm Logan.
No, I'm Adam.
And we're going to ruin a lot of stuff, but definitely The Acolyte and The Boys, both yep. which had finales this week. We'll talk about those at the end of the episode.
talk about ruining, talk about us ruining ruining stuff. I think that one of those kind of ruined me.
Yeah.
With our fucking great discussion. Absolutely. I can't wait to get into both of these because I think they're going to be lively discussions.
But some news from this week. Well, it seems like we're starting every podcast with this person died this week. Bob Newhart passed away, which was a bummer. Not like a wholly unexpected bummer, but it's still just a bummer. I mean, he was in his 90s, right? So
yeah, he was 94. I mean, talk about a life lived. I mean, that's Jesus. I can't even piece together, like, I came to Newhart very late in my life. I'm talking I know we're gonna laugh, but it was in my 20s. It wasn't somebody who I grew up with, right? Though my mother loved Newhart, I just never could get into it. But then Elf unlocked him for me. And then I went back and I watched both the Bob Newhart show and Newhart. I prefer Newhart. That's instantly what I did. Like, I have the DVD collection. Like, yeah. All these TV shows have like these massive collections that I collect. And this one I picked up, I think it was for $20 for the whole collection of it, like 8 years, 160 episodes. And it's just like, I don't know about you. And I was going to ask you, like, Newhart was kind of one of one. He was this very soft comedian. He wasn't nebbish, but he definitely occupied that kind of air. But damn, was he funny. Like, he didn't do things.
Yeah, like, I think the only comparison we have today is and now I'm drawing a blank on his name. The food comedian, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, Jim Gaffigan. Yeah.
He's hysterical. He works relatively clean, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. The comedy is not stupid, you know? Like, mm-hmm. a lot of times when you say clean comedy, like, you know, and not that I didn't think those guys were funny, but, like, you think more of, Jeff Foxworthy and, Larry the Cable Guy. But, that's on a level of, not that you have to be stupid to appreciate it, but it's a lowest common denominator kind of level.
Yes.
That's where they're shooting their shots, you know, at oh yeah, people are, you know, stupid. Or we're stupid, you know. And Bob Newhart, it's hard to describe the kind of comedy that he did.
You're right. It was smart, insightful, funny, but it was never dirty. But also, I don't really know how to describe it because it was still inferred, but it was never and I know this is a bad word nowadays, but he was just so fucking wholesome, man. If you watch his two shows, the Bob Newhart show and Newhart, and you watch them together,
three, but the third one was only on for a season and a half.
Yeah, this is true. But if you watch them together, like if you watch them back to back, you get this idea of this man who kind of like just understood like kindness is the way. Like yeah. It's really weird. It's like kindness and understanding that everybody's a dunce every once in a while, and everybody's
he could be mean. Like he had a bite to him, but it even when he was like probably maybe not people now because that show's it's been off the air for a while, but you know, 5-6 years ago, people would have known him as. Like that this guy that shows up every once in a while on Big Bang Theory, and he was playing his kind of character on Big Bang, but he would all like it would also include taking like huge shots at everybody else on that show, and like his like the idea of him like being a dirty old man, which is something you'd think the show would do, but like his idea of that is mostly just like that he can't believe these guys have these pretty girlfriends, and like he doesn't hit on them. He does like it's more just like, oh yeah, you're very attractive. Like instead of it being like the really, really, you know, like dirty old man thing. So, yeah, he's a really one of one is like absolutely true. Like there's nobody. And so when I was a younger, I was a Newhart guy. Like that show, I watched that show with my mom. But
yeah,
I really came to appreciate him through reruns of the Bob Newhart show on Nick at Night, watching that with my grandmother. And I like that show better. Like to me, that's the show that like immediately comes to mind. His like very 70s apartment and the wacky next door neighbor that like, I mean, not that that was a trope that he invented for that show. No. It wasn't. But, like, Kramer is such the, like I don't know.
Like Bill Daly
had
to crawl before
it's the evolution. Kramer, like, you get the Kramer Richard. Through
yes. him,
you know?
Like, it's so weird to talk about the Bob Newhart show because it has one of my favorite, like, it has one of my favorite 70s actresses that just didn't do anything after the 70s and 80s, which is Suzanne Pleshette. Like, and I just, you know what half of it is? Is half of it is saying her fucking name. Like, it's just a great name. Suzanne Pleshette in the Bob Newhart show. Or, like, you know, or... Like, you know, I don't know, like take any like Three's Company with guest star Suzanne Pleshette. She was probably in a bunch of Love Boats. but yeah, man, like he was like, I don't know, like that show, the Newhart show is so 70s. It out 70s most of because it's trying to it's like, you know what it a lot is a lot like. And you just talked about like, you know, like the wacky thing, but the Kramer of it all, the Seinfeld of it all. But I honestly, it also feels like both of them together feel like this is what Kelsey Grammer and the Charleses watched to come up with to come up with Frasier. Like it feels like do you know what I mean? Like the kind of like tone at which like Newhart does things in both shows feels very kind of not Kelsey Grammer as much as it is Frasier. Like Bob Newhart, you can't separate Bob Newhart from the show, Bob Newhart show and Newhart. I can definitely separate Frasier from Kelsey Grammer because they're very different people. but it feels like it's a template. Like if you've watched these, they're very much so the template for a lot of like, things that comedians that had stuff in the 90s, they were watching the Bob Newhart in the 70s and in the 80s. And it feels like there was a lot of reference points there. I don't know 100% for sure, because I mean, like, you know, I don't I like watching comedy, but I don't like interviews and interactions with a lot of comedians because it ruins things for me. A lot of comedians are terrible human beings, people. And yeah. So the less you know about them, the better. It's hard. But this guy,
I mean, there's something to the like trauma creating like that ability to entertain that holds true. And I mean, I honestly know absolutely nothing about Bob Newhart's personal life. And I don't, it sounds weird to be like, that makes me happy, but like it does. It makes me happy that this guy didn't dump his trauma out on everybody else, like on top of entertaining the world, which seems to be something that's hard not to do anymore. So.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it was really sad. But you know what happened was, like, I mean, I've had, I think everybody's had a real fucking week this week. We will not say why, but let's just say that we've had a really fucking rough week. But you know what happened? Like, honestly, I got a little choked up when I saw it. I really did, like, because I didn't know how hard it was going to hit me. But you know what I did was, like, what everybody else normally does when this shit happens was, I was like, fuck it. Like, I've got to stop what I'm doing. And I got to pull out, I literally dusted off my Newhart DVDs. And I put in, I just picked a season at random. I dropped in a disc and I started watching. Man, this is like these kinds of shows. The reason why we keep old shows is for this feeling, that feeling of comfort. Like he did it. Like I just kind of like, I felt better instantly watching a couple of episodes because Newhart knew that you need 30 minutes of just pure wholesome entertainment sometimes, right? And that's what that show is designed to do. But more so than that, like, this guy stayed relevant by being nice for literally 50 years. Just by being nice. Like, that is fucking wild to me. And it made me feel better. Like, it made me feel better. Like, until the end, he had the same wife. His wife, Jenny, I knew that much about him because I've heard him talk about her in his comedy and stuff. And it's always, like, the best part about Newhart was that he was always so deflective. Like, he was always making his wife look better in his comedy. But at the end of it, it was like, he did he still continues to do what he probably set out to do, which is just make the world a couple of centimeters better. And, you know, I don't know, man, like, it's just like, it's a good thing. Like up until the end, he was doing things until the end. Wasn't he in the Sheldon? Wasn't he in Young Sheldon? I mean,
for a couple of episodes, like, mostly just his voice, because just de-aging. I think they used some younger pictures of him for some things. But like, it would have been a lot of money to try to like digitally include him as the character that he played, but they used his voice a few times. Also Young Sheldon, absolutely brilliant show, as opposed to Big Bang Theory, which is uneven at best. So
no, absolutely. And like the best part, the last thing that I remember him doing, and I had to I watched it multiple times because I wanted to hear, like, I wanted to hear all the voices. But he was he reprised his role of Bernard from The Rescuers in Once Upon a Studio. Now I'm fairly certain that they just used his voice. They sampled his voice, but he's still in it, and he still has a moment. Like, they still have a moment where they feature his voice in that great short. And it's kind of weird because it's like there's so many people that have passed that are in that. the guy who did Peter Pan. He's actually pretty famous for voice work. I think it's Driscoll or something like that. But until the end, doing it, bringing happiness. Like, it's just, it's kind of like one of those things where he really was a one of one. And if you don't know him, I'm fairly certain at least one of the streaming services has either the Bob Newhart show or Newhart. Unfortunately, Nick at Night is no longer around, which is just Jesus Christ.
But here's the thing though, Nick at Night now would be the shows we were watching when we were in high school. So you still wouldn't get things like, I mean, like MeTV exists, and that kind of fills that gap.
That's true too.
But like you Nick and Knight wouldn't be things like the Bob Newhart show and the Many Loves of Dobie Gillis and stuff like that. That I discovered, staying up late at night when on the weekends. Kind of more, at my grandmother's house. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
Newhart is actually on Amazon Prime. There you guys go. It like as long as you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. Which there you go. Like at least Newhart is on there.
It's worth watching. Like I know I said Bob Newhart show is my jam, but like Newhart is worth watching. Absolutely. It's very funny and like full of just like the best character actors of that era. They make that, like, he's great, but they make the show.
Yes. No, they definitely do. It's a great show. So check it out, guys.
All right. So the other news that we had is not for sure, but definitely in talks. We can jump into a lot of Marvel stuff here.
Yes.
The Russo brothers are in talks to return to Marvel to direct the now vacant Avengers films.
Yes. The untitled Avengers films, because they're now trying to figure out, like, even though they're calling them Secret Wars, all like it's very funny to watch like Deadline and all of the and Hollywood Reporter all like saying untitled fifth Avengers film.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're doing. Literally, they do not know what they're doing now because of the whole king of it all, but also wanting to do big things. I also feel like this is the step towards getting RDJ and Evans back and getting the band back together again. Which I'm not sure, I don't know about yet. Like, I'm not sure. Like,
I think that there's a, like, one of the things that will be a tipping point will be watching Hugh Jackman's star kind of, like, re-rise.
Yes.
After,
which it's already started.
Yeah.
I mean,
Not that it ever really shrank, and not that those guys' stars have, but I mean, they're not at the level that they were when those movies were hitting hard. You know?
No, absolutely. You're 100% right. Like he's still, it's a legacy thing, right? Like legacy in the way that like. People like to use old as legacy. But all of the comments by Feige about this fucking shit has me going, yeah, they're going to fucking announce something big.
Yeah.
They're trying to prepare everybody for like Hugh Jackman is about to like sign like a four picture deal to come back. And like, even Jackman has said, the experience coming back is like a beautiful one and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, these motherfuckers are coming back. Like, he's coming back. Like, it just feels like it's in the air that they need this huge W. Like, I mean, do you feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, Marvel absolutely needs a win.
Yes, they do.
I think it would be. So maybe not I'm maybe with Captain America. Like, I can, part of me's like, okay, yeah, they need, like, I get, like, being in, like, not peak physical form, but good physical form. But, like, also part of me is like, I would like to see the schlubbier Wolverine and Captain America. You know what I mean? Like, go back to, like, slightly tubby Thor. Like, I'm okay with all of that. Like, I don't need them to look like literal, you know, carved from marble Greek statues. Like, you know, let them be older. Like,
yeah,
Downey, you can do that with. Like, he's wearing a suit. Like, he literally has to look, like, just good and talk like Tony Stark, which is Robert. He's just got to be Robert Downey Jr. Like, it doesn't matter. And he's never been a dude who's been on the bigger side of things. So,
no, he's been in shape. But have you noticed that recently he's looked less emaciated and more kind of, I'm telling you guys, like, I already know that the feelers are out there. Because you got, like, it, especially, like, if you're filming in the next, like, say, 12 to, like, let's just say 12 months, right? Like, they're probably aiming towards 12 months because they have the pieces. It's just how you're going to put it together, right? And if these guys are coming back, and I know that I would love Shelby Thor, and I would love an out-of-shape, like, you know, Wolverine. But there's something about it where I'm like, nah, these dudes are going to come back, like, hard. Yeah.
They probably want to come back looking like fantastic, but like, I also know that every single one of them has cited, like, doing these one on top of the other is like maintaining that physical form is like just hard for them.
No, absolutely. But also, I'm going to say this. I will not be surprised if it's a one, if it's like, again, it's a back-to-back filming. Like they can't get the schedules together for these guys. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. They'll do them. Especially if it's the Russos, I would think that, and speaking of people whose stars have kind of fallen, we were just talking about them. And like the inability or the people who just won't rein them in are just like dumping tons of money for them to make movies that are not great.
Are not great.
Has been
careful, some would say.
Insane. Absolutely. And so, yeah, like all of that to say basically, like Marvel reaching back out to these guys. Like, all of them, it is not, you know, it'd be hard for them to say no, I think. So,
yes, very hard, especially because
Hemsworth is the only one that's still basically like, oh, I'll do this, like, for however long they want me to. You know, maybe not in the like top peak physical form, because I know he's got some things going on. But like he's never, I don't think he's ever wavered from like, oh, I'll play Thor for however long they want me to.
And like he's one of those guys where like I feel like even though he's like, it's weird because like even though he like people take it for granted. He is literally one of the glue guys in the Avengers. Like,
oh, absolutely.
He keeps it there, like, in a way that I don't think that all the other guys do. And you kind of, like, it's kind of great that he's just kind of like, I'm Thor, and I'm okay with being Thor for however long it is, because it's a paycheck, and I have lots of kids. Like, I'm very, it's very interesting to see them appear to what seems to be, like, appear to ramp up, to lean in, to go back, right? Especially considering the Captain America Brave New World trailer that dropped that we didn't talk about last week.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. It's a solid teaser.
Yes.
It's kind of cool seeing Harrison Ford in the MCU. I wish he was 10 years younger.
Seriously.
I love Harrison Ford. I get he's playing a character, but buddy, it pissed me off when he said, "You might be Captain America, but you are not Steve Rogers."
But that's the point, right? Like,
yeah,
that is like Thaddeus Ross in a nutshell, a guy who loves to fucking stir the pot. Like, and I liked that, especially considering we're getting Red Hulk. Like, we absolutely know that that's the type of asshole that Thaddeus Ross is. Yeah. And as a president, like, and, but also, like, what I like is the concept that nobody wants Sam as Captain America. Like, I really like that it's this whole underdog story, right?
And it's, so, a part of that is embracing, like, fandom itself, like a certain faction of fandom being like, well, why isn't Bucky Captain America? The motherfucker was like on the payroll of another, he was an assassin for another country.
Yes. I totally get that
it was under duress, so to speak. But, you know, he was brainwashed. Totally get it. That guy cannot tote that shield, man. Like, he just, politically, like, fake politically, that doesn't make any sense.
it really doesn't.
Creates a lot of problems, because turns out he killed a lot of people in a lot of other countries, and this country as well. So, you know.
Including Tony Stark's dad.
Yeah.
Who was, like, at the time, was in the highest of highs of the halls of, in the halls of politics and power. Like, literally assassinated him, like nobody's business, like, in the height of the Cold War. Because what was it, like, it was 89 when his parents died, right? Yeah. Or 90.
Somewhere in there,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's like...
Yeah, you can't have that dude walking around as the no. quote, symbol of freedom. And like, with... It, like, current real world politics being what they are, like, this, like, kind of back and forth between Ross and Sam, like, is kind of, you know, very, like, current. Like, it's not out of place. So
no, absolutely not. And I do like that they're leaning into, because Winter Soldier did the same thing. Because of, like, the whole, like, at that time, we were kind of reconciling with drone strikes. And shit, I would love to go back 10 years and just have to deal with things like, you know, like, illegal drone striking and shit like that. Oh, good Lord. But I feel like this was gonna, like, I feel like they figured it out. At least
not to make it too real world. Could we step back, like, I don't know, 30 years and just have to deal with some dude getting a blowjob in the White House?
Oh, Jesus Christ, please, yes. Let's just sit there and just be in there and just laugh at you guys, like, going, you guys are some dumb motherfuckers. Like, oh, like, you know, second, like, you know, third base is nothing. Let's just fucking stop this stupidity.
Yeah,
come on. Say less, listen more, as one of my favorite musicals says. I don't know, man. Like, I think that this one might hit. I mean, it's going to hit hard if like, you know, shit keeps on happening the way that it happens.
It's coming out in February, and I'm just like, are they going to have to delay this fucking movie?
They fucking are. You know that they are. This fucking movie's gonna be delayed 2 years, bro. It's gonna be like a July movie. Like, they're just like, oh, we're delaying it to May or July. Fuck.
Like, oh, the price of Feige getting like, even though, like, some of those movies were not great, the early Marvel stuff, like, looking at Iron Man 2, or actually Thor the Dark World, probably most of all, even though they're not all great, like, they were hits. Yep. And, like, the price for Feige having hit after hit after hit after hit, like, having now literally taken hit after hit after hit, like, just, like, granted, some of the stuff, like, they should have never been in business with, like, it was half-baked at best, but, like, the things that fell through no fault of his own, it's just been incredible. And if this movie, like, if they hold it to the February release and the election winds up impacting, like, the box office of this film, they need something major to break this curse. Because, holy shit, there's no part of me that thinks that this is going to be a bad movie. Like, just off the trailer, like, I don't get any kind of, I don't think it's going to be the Winter Soldier or Civil War, but, you know, the level of, like, the first Iron Man, the first Captain America, you know, the first Thor, like, it will be that level of quality, if not higher. So yeah, like, I'm super excited for it. But yeah, like, they announced the February release with the trailer, like, solidified that, and then here we are a week later, and, like, the election stuff, we'll just leave it at that, has, like, become crazy and
contentious, contentious to say the least.
And you know, so, like, immediately I was just like, they might have to delay this movie, or they might have to just eat the loss. Because, like, if this movie takes any kind of solid stance or makes any kind of, quote, woke statement, like, it might turn into a disaster.
Yep. It just might. Not because it's a bad movie, just because... No. People are fucking drones and stupid. Like,
She-Hulk wasn't a bad show. It's just, you get this certain section really vocal and, like, able to harness the fucking dumbass power of the internet. And they make it seem like it's, like, the worst thing anybody's ever done. Like, it's not the best thing they've ever done, but, like, it was just a fun little, like, aside, you know. It wasn't meant to be world changing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But when there's a certain sector, the most vocal sector of fandom, that, like, that comes from the same fact that they think that Homelander is the hero of The Boys. There's a fundamental, deeply core, like, issue with that particular person. Even if you're, even if you're just being a troll and you don't believe it, you're part of the problem because you're contributing to that. You can't just shut the fuck up and just keep your opinions to yourself or keep your tomfoolery. Like, you think that, I don't know. Like, I don't know what people think that they're doing. Like, oh, I'm going to bring them down a peg. Okay, fine. Like, you did it, but you are also continually adding to the toxicity of it all. It's like, the internet is the progenitor of, like, the worst people in the world because it masks them from accountability, right? And as I've gotten older, like, it's weird how, like, anonymity has become the thing so that everybody can talk like a tough guy, right? It's like it's like everybody's a fucking tough guy until you're face to face with somebody, and then civility takes over, unless of course you have a fucking AR-15, in which case you don't need to be civil. It's just, it's fucking wild. I'm very curious about how this is going to play out. Like, to be perfectly honest, like, there's a part of me that feels like that February date is so tone deaf now that you might as well put it on January 7th, you know, or January 8th of this of next year. You might as well, because, like, you know, you're tempting fate in a big way. But again, it does look good. It looks like it's a step in the right direction. But we'll find out. We'll see as it moves forward. I think that this one, like, I hate to say it, but I feel like this one is doomed. Like either or way, any way that November, whatever happens in November, like either or way, I feel like this one is going to be review bombed to shit. Regardless. And that sucks because it does deserve a chance. You know, I want to see Red Hole. Jesus. But we shall see. We shall see, right? Though there are some cool moments. You did hear that Giancarlo Esposito said that nobody has figured out who his character is, even though everybody is claiming that he's playing, God, I can't even think of the
name. G.W. Bridge?
But yeah, G.W. Bridge.
Yeah. I said from the,
you did say from the get-go.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think he's playing G.W. Bridge, because he's talked about playing a bad guy, and, like, I know that, like, Marvel will change things around, but, like, changing a character who's fundamentally a good guy, and also, like, a character just that doesn't matter, like, casting somebody of that caliber as that kind of character, changing him from a good guy to, like, it just, none of it made a lot of sense. Like, when people are like, oh, G.W. Bridge. And I'm like, yeah, that as a old school X-Force fan, that's exciting. But also, I don't think that's who he's playing. Like, it just, it didn't make any sense. I have no guesses. Like, I don't know who it could be.
I do like, I just like the tone of the trailer, right? Like, it gives me the same vibes that it's not like, I like that it Falcon and Winter Soldier is like this bridge gap between the Captain America movies, because it doesn't feel like anything in the Captain America movies, but this wholly feels like a Captain America movie. Like, the tone of it feels like it, you know, including and not limited to, like, somebody attacking a caravan. Like, that's become, like, a thing for these fucking movies. I just like the tone. I like that it feels like spy forward or politically forward, in a way that all the, like, as soon as Winter Soldier found its ground, like, you know, it's like, you have to have, like, the issue zero, right? So, like, Captain America, the first Avenger, is the issue zero that tells the origin story, right? It's not really a political thriller, but I like the fact that it was like, as soon as Cap is in the real world, it becomes these become political thrillers, a throwback to something that we don't ever get anymore. Partially because it's fucking so difficult, because, you know, we're considered the bad guys in a lot of places now. I mean, we always have been, but it's just been real world optics have been changed since 2014. So I like that. I like that they're attempting this, right? They're attempting something that kind of melds both, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier, but also the Captain America, like, mold of a combat thriller. So I will, like, you know, I'm definitely very, very, very curious to see what happens as we move forward, because I like everybody in this show, or I mean, I like everybody in the movie that they've cast. I like what I'm seeing. So we'll see. Like, you know, we will very much so see. Do you think that Ruffalo's in it?
I wouldn't be surprised if he makes an appearance.
Okay. So. That's got to be kind of, like, it's like, if he does, it's going to be kind of exciting, because we've heard that Betty Ross is in the film. Liv Tyler plays the role.
Yeah. So, And that the leader is showing up.
Yes.
Played by he was in The Incredible Hulk. What's his name?
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
He was in The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, he was in The Incredible Hulk, but wasn't he in She-Hulk too? Or am I just thinking of Tim Roth?
Did he show up in She-Hulk? Tim Roth showed up in She-Hulk. I don't think Tim Blake Nelson did.
Jesus, let me see here. I can very much so quickly check. Let's
see. It would be cool to have Roth show back up too.
Who?
To have Roth show back up as Abomination.
Abomination. That would be great. That Blonsky, like, yeah. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting seeing, like, if he does show up, like how he fits in, because he's been such a comedic piece recently. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's been the levity, and even if he is the levity, it'll be interesting how they plug him into the role. I really would like to see that, but we'll see. Anything else? I mean, we're kind of like, we took 2 minutes and we really kind of rounded it in, didn't we?
Not news wise, but since we're on the Marvel train, surprise, kind of, sort of surprise drop from Marvel this week. Season 2 of a show called Hitmonkey, which premiered almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. Amazing that they actually delivered. Like, I was telling you, I had forgotten that they did this. Like, we had heard the announcement that they were, that it was series 2, right? Like, it was like they were going to do a series 2.
So part of it is that Marvel canceled all of, so the Marvel Television, when it was a thing, had a deal with Hulu. They were doing 4 shows, Hellstorm, MODOK, Hitmonkey, and then a show that featured Tigra but had a bunch of other characters. The Tigra show never premiered. Hellstorm got 1 season. MODOK got 1 season. MODOK was kind of a wild comedy show. Yeah, it was crazy. It was like what's the old Adult Swim show that Seth Green?
Oh,
Robot Chicken. It's very Robot Chicken-esque. And then Hitmonkey was this anime-inspired show about a Marvel character called Hitmonkey, a monkey that became a hitman, created by Deadpool writer Daniel Way. A lot of Deadpool crossover there. So even though it's not in the cartoon, but like it does hold the vibe of the character as he was created. I enjoyed the first season. I do remember them, like, at some point a couple of years ago, probably about the time we started recording, saying, hey, there's going to be a season 2. But then it had been so long that I thought, oh, well, it just went the way of like everything else. Marvel was in chaos but what had happened was Marvel proper, when Kevin Feige became the head of everything, canceled all of that. But somebody, another animation studio, wanted to pick up Hitmonkey. So they were like, yeah, that's fine. Like, if you want to produce season 2, like, that's fine. And like, really, Marvel's name, like, it's on it, but it's not a Marvel show.
Yeah, it's so, an association with Marvel, correct?
Yeah, kind of like the Sony stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Although this is good, unlike the Sony stuff. Season 2 is, I watched all of it. They dropped all of at one time. Okay. It's pretty damn good. I would say if you're missing Archer in your life, Hitmonkey can fill that void for just a little while. Like, it it captures a lot of what Archer had. Like, the action's solid, the humor's there. Sometimes you get lost in the sauce with the story, like not the character story, but you know, the overall story of like the MacGuffin stuff, where it's just like, what? I don't even remember what the hell they're chasing or why they're chasing it. But you're kind of just in it for the characters. It's a lot of fun. It's really funny. It's interesting that Jason Sudeikis, who plays one of the main characters, he's in almost every scene. I don't remember if it was like this in the first season, but he is not top billed. Every episode says, and Jason Sudeikis.
Really? That's interesting. That's a very interesting thing. I wonder why that is. Okay.
Now, Fred Tatasciore is the top bill, but he is the voice of Hitmonkey. He does the... So, I can kind of see that, but also, if you don't know... If you're not into, like, knowing who voice actors are, you don't know who the fuck Fred Tatasciore is. So, it's very interesting to me. I would love to know, like, what the call there is. Like, I feel like it has to be a Sudeikis call, right?
Yes, I think
because you would think that the natural thing to do was put him as top bill. So, but anyway, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I was gonna ask a question, but I'll let you finish. I'm so sorry.
It's just not I don't want to say earth changing, but it's not gonna like rock your world. It's just gonna like kill some time.
Okay. Now the big question for me is that does the style remain the same?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, I think it's better.
Oh, wow.
I think it's better produced than the first season was.
So is it sharper? Like,
yeah.
It's like the writing is sharper. It's like the everything of it is a sharper show then.
I think so. I think like not necessarily. I don't know the facts of it all, but probably they didn't have to answer to anybody like directly at Marvel.
Okay.
So
freed up to do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah, I mean the original show was doing whatever it wanted to, but I don't. This feels a little looser and more just more fun than the first season, I think.
So it's come to play. Like the freeing up of like, you know, like the ability to answer to people and like the Marvel trust and trying to make sure that everything was quote unquote accurate or was equivalent to, and like I've allowed them to like actually just do whatever they want to do. So it's kind of more like a MODOK situation where like MODOK really isn't existing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe or anything. It's a fucking wild ass show that like, you know, that Patton Oswalt just decided to make that served his own purposes. This kind of is the kind of in a similar vein then.
Yeah. I the one thing that sucks about all of that is this show plays with mysticism, the afterlife, just all of these things that we've kind of touched on in more recent Marvel properties. So the fact that it's not Marvel proper and you're not going to see Doctor Strange or Shang-Chi or characters like that kind of sucks because they would fit in perfectly with what the show's trying to do.
I see. Okay. All right. No, I like it. I will pick up where I last left off. Is there anything else that you've seen this week that some merit?
Also a bit of a surprise, although I did know this was coming. This was completely on my radar. Although you didn't know about it, animation wise, yes. Kite Man, hell yeah! First two episodes and dropped.
We should clarify. You're not saying Kite Man, hell yeah.
No, the name of the show is Kite Man, hell yeah.
Which is very accurately titled for that character.
Yeah.
So you saw like two episodes dropped, correct?
Yep.
And you watched the full.
Yeah. It's if you like Harley Quinn, but Harley and the Harley Ivy of it all got to be a little bit too much for you, this mm-hmm. is absolutely the show that you've been waiting on.
Okay.
Because there's very little Harley and Ivy in this show.
As a Kite Man show, like, especially if it takes place after the events of season two heading into season three, I don't mind it being a just about Kite Man. I mean, because it's literally called Kite Man, hell yeah. So Kite Man Dash, hell yeah. I want just Kite Man, right? Like, yeah. I don't want anybody else. I don't think that it would help. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't feel like adding them into the show. I mean, maybe to set tone and start you off in the good way, like on the pilot. But after that, I don't know, man. Like, does it really work? Like, does it really need to be them added into the situation of it all?
No, they really, in the first two episodes, they have one scene. So the basic premise of the show is the bar that they all go hang out at, like all the little mm-hmm. villains. The guy is selling it, and Kite Man and his new girlfriend, Golden Glider, decide they're going to buy it. And
the glider, that's great.
Yeah. And they need the money. So the only Harley Ivy bit is he goes to them to try to get the money, to help raise some of the money. And like, they have this whole back and forth about how he was supposed to marry Ivy. And like, you know, he spent all this money on a wedding that didn't happen. And it's kind of funny. Bane does a lot in the show, and it's great. I know you love Bane.
Oh God. I love Bane.
The one thing that's really, really weird, and if the show continues, I know will change. Lance Reddick is the voice of Lex Luthor. So this show was already, like, at least the voice acting was done before he passed. So
yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they do as far as Lex is concerned.
Oh man, that's sad. Oh. All right. Well, I mean, I'm very curious about this one. So even more so that you've actually told me that it's good. Or at least the first two episodes. And I mean, I'm all for that. Like, you know, I'm all for diving into another animated series, the same tone as Harley Quinn. Yeah.
I guess they could. Giancarlo Esposito is doing Lex Luthor for Harley Quinn. So I guess they'd probably just go to him. So
they could. Yeah, very much so. Like I was thinking about that, and I was looking up the cast, and it seems weird that they added in Lance, especially. I mean, it could also
have been an availability thing.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. But all the same, like, I'm going to definitely check it out, and I will report back.
I really think you'll dig it. Did you watch the last season of Harley Quinn?
Yes.
Yeah, I was not the biggest fan. Like, it was so much about the Harley and Ivy relationship.
Yeah.
And, like, it has nothing to do with, like, not enjoying their relationship or approving of it or whatever. It's just, like, I don't know. It was such a heavy focus on, like, it wasn't even a will they, won't they. It was, like, will they, won't they stay together. And I'm like, I'm not into this at all. way more interested in what's going on with everybody else.
Yes.
And this show kind of scratches that itch big time.
That is, like, I like that. I like hearing that.
Go ahead. Not to spoil a joke, but there is one funny thing in the first episode I just want to call out. Type Man's robbing a bank, and Batgirl stops him. And while she's beating him up, she gets a call on her phone saying she's needed elsewhere from Detective Chimp, which is such a obscure DC reference. And she's like, I'm stopping Kite Man from robbing a bank. And Detective Chimpman's like, who is Kite Man? And Kite Man's like, you know me. Like, I have a kite gimmick. The fact that Detective Chimp is like, who the hell is Kite Man? Is such a, like level joke. Because who the hell is Detective Chimp?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's so fucking great. I love it. I love it. So definitely check it out.
So, and I hope they do more with Batgirl. She showed up, I think, briefly in the last season of Harley Quinn. Maybe not briefly. She might have been in a few episodes because it's, I'm pretty sure it's Kaylee Cuoco's sister.
Yes, it is.
Brianna.
It is.
So,
yes.
And she's, yeah. I think she's really funny. So,
she really is. I like, talk about like not being Nepo, but being Nepo. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, when I saw that, I was like, well, I kind of can't blame them because she kind of is kind of fucking fantastic. Do you know what I mean?
The whole Nepo thing is so, like, it's such an interesting argument for me because I am against anybody getting anything. Like, I'm with people who are like, you don't deserve something just because you're related to somebody. But also, when it comes to things like talent, like, that can be, like, you know, in your DNA. So, like, if, like, this person is talented in this way, there's a chance that their kid or their close sibling or what is also talented. Like, so it's such a weird thing, you know?
Because, it really, like, is.
Okay. The Hemsworth brothers, like, they're both pretty talented, but also there's a Hemsworth that's not that talented, like, in that way, you know, like, he does something else. You know, we see it in baseball all the time.
All,
you know,
the time. Basketball, football.
But, yeah, you know, so it's like, yes, it's not enough that you have the name. I think we're probably going to see the inverse of all this in basketball, maybe. With LeBron's son.
Bronny? Like, oh, good God.
Who is not LeBron James part two? Like, if everything I see is to be believed, like, yeah, it's not the second coming of LeBron James. So, it probably plays out like that in sports, like, as often as it doesn't. Because, like, you really got to be able to do it. Like, there's no workaround in sports. Like, you might get a spot on the team because your dad's LeBron James, but, like, you ain't going to be in the starting lineup if you suck. So, it's probably a lot easier in Hollywood to work around the deficiencies. But, you know, at the same time, like, if they're talented, they're fucking talented. Like, I don't. Jamie Lee Curtis is a Nepo baby. She's fucking talented, man. Like, I don't know what you want me to say. Go watch The Fucking Bear for the most recent Jamie Lee Curtis is talented. Like,
this is true. This is so true. It's not even funny. You just don't. Oh, You just like it's interesting because it's like yeah, you'll get the door opened for you, but you ain't gonna stay there long if you're not talented. Like yeah, to be
very
honest,
few people
not.
Do. Very few people do. Yeah. So it gets an interesting argument that like I'm like, yeah, I see your point, but like also, you know, if they're not good, then you have a point. But if they're good, like I don't know. Like I don't it's hard for me to argue against them. Like, you know, despite, you know, who he is personally, Charlie Sheen was pretty great. Like he had a really, really solid run, you know? And yeah. You know, he's a Nepo baby. So, like,
yeah, no, well, and then also it's like, okay, so like the Estevez brothers, right? There's Charlie, there's Emilio, but then also there's Ramon. And yeah. We don't ever hear about Ramon. Why? Because he tried his acting. It's weird because he looks like a combination of his brothers. Like he tried, it didn't work. Like his brothers continually casted him in various things, but it never worked. It just never worked. And so, you know, yeah. Look at Harrison Ford has a brother, and his brother tried to make it in movies, and it didn't work. Like arguably the biggest star in the last 50 years has a brother, and you didn't know about him, but he definitely tried to make a movies. I know because I've seen them, and they're terrible. So it's not like. I agree with you. Like this whole weird Nepo baby thing. Like, yeah, it'll get you in the door, but you know what? It's as soon, like it's very quickly.
Yeah.
You're going to get your ass kicked out.
It's funny how it's fallen to like Hollywood, like people pointing things. And I feel like that's a misdirect because where the yes. damaging Nepo baby thing is. And I know we've gone off on it's not in Hollywood. It's not in sports. It's in the business world. That's where the shit is. Like, as somebody who works for a company that got run by, you know, somebody, like the guy founded it, handed it off to his kids, and his kids ran it into the fucking ground until it got bought out. Like, I've seen what... like firsthand what that damage is. And so, yeah, it's not in the world of like, oh, you got a part in a movie because your dad's Kevin Smith, you know, like, okay, yeah. Well, you know, like that kind of talent can be genetic. The hard work and dedication it takes to run a fucking company. That's not genetics, man. It's not.
No. that is learned. That is learned by experience, by hellfire, by a lot of things. And it's just, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, in business world and like I hate to say it, fucking politics.
Yeah, politics. The same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like you just like honestly, you just kind of like
are not genetic traits.
No. It's not, but oddly enough, like it's the places where we don't like where everybody shut the fuck up about things. I'm always like, okay, yeah, no, yeah, no. Well,
his dad ran GM for 35 years. Like, okay, like,
yeah,
that doesn't mean he can fucking do it. But like if his dad was Mel Blanc, and be like, yeah, we can see what he could do as the voice of Bugs Bunny. You know?
Exactly, because he kind of sounds like him. Like, okay, so, like, this is my fucking thing. It's like, it's like, you know, his dad ran GM, and he ran into the ground? Well, he's gonna fucking do the same thing. Why the fuck would you why the fuck would you hire him? Oh, yeah, that's right, because you want to keep the billionaires in the billionaires.
Yep.
Fuck, man. It's like, okay, so, like, here's my theory. The reason why... is because it's the only grapple hold old white dudes have on anything because yeah. They don't have it in sports anymore because sports is based solely on talent. And like with the rare exception, right? Everything that we're talking about is based on talent.
Yep.
And talent can be like, I know this sounds weird, but you're right. Talent can be genetic. It can be transferred, right? Like it's an inevitable thing. Like you can be talented.
Stephen King's kids, at least a couple of them.
Yeah,
Joe. Become writers. Like that, like it makes sense that, oh, there's a chance that his kids like could be decent writers. Like,
yeah.
And a couple of them are. Like he wrote a book with Owen King, and then Joe Hill has made a name absolutely for himself beyond, you know, like so much so that he doesn't use the King name. And that's, you know, that is what it is. So, you know, it's, and did like Stephen King open doors for them? Possibly, probably, more than likely. But also, you know, they are talented. So it like it's it just like I hate that argument when it comes to entertainment or sports or like we've been talking about, like, because, you know, I mean, Sylvester Stallone was one of the biggest, is one of the biggest stars of all time. It's like you were talking about the other Estevez brother. Fucking Frank Stallone, like, has not an ounce of Sylvester Stallone's talent or ability or, like, charisma or, like, you know. And and he tried, you know.
Yeah, it's he like, tried. He tried so fucking hard, and his brother tried so hard. We used to make fun of, like, I know this is a weird tangent, but this is like core memory for me. We used to make fun of Frank so much, like so much so, like we would do this bit, like me and my friends in high school, we would do this bit where he goes on to Carson and he tries to like sing a song because that's what Frank was known for. And like literally like we made this whole bit where Johnny would cut him off and go, "Thank you, Frank," and leave because he was so fucking bad. And he still is. Like I think he shows up in Tulsa King or King of Tulsa. Which is a great show, by the way, guys. You should be watching this because if you like Stallone, like, you know, this is the Godfather that he never got. Because, like, you know, and if you don't know about Stallone and Godfather, just look it up. Like, it's a very fun
story. I've been interested about Tulsa King. I might have to add it to my list.
Oh, dude, especially with season two coming up. Like, it's very Tyler Sheridan. Like, it's very Tyler Sheridan. Like, I'm not going to lie. It's, like, fucking Tyler Sheridan. But I feel like Stallone keeps him honest in a way that I don't think many people appreciate. I mean, like, you know how like Stallone is like known to have his fingers in all the pie in the movie. It's part of the reason why he got kicked off of Creed 3 was because he just couldn't let well enough alone and let Michael B. Jordan's franchise be Michael B. Jordan's franchise. Well, yeah. He does that with Tulsa King, but he absolutely makes everything about it better. Like, you can tell the Stallone choices, but it's like Stallone going back and cracking his knuckles and going, Paradise Alley and Fist didn't work. I still want to make a great gangster thing for myself, but I don't want to do the average gangster thing. I've seen what my Italian brethren have done. And what I really want to do is focus on the mob in the Midwest, which is an untold story, which it is. I mean, it's hinted at in certain things. Casino is a very, like, the book Casino, like, basically tells what Tulsa King has told about, which is the Midwest is the belt, like anything, it's the beltway for crime. Like, at the time, it was the beltway for crime between the East Coast and Vegas. They needed a layover. And a lot of it, like, you know, a lot of the interstate trafficking that was happening. And, like, Tulsa King very, very smartly deals with not just that, but, like, him, like it's a great concept of, like, Frank, Stallone's character moving to the Midwest and having to deal with the Midwest and all of its eccentricities away from New York. And, man, it's good. Like, it's a good show. Though it has very many, very much so, the all of the Tyler Sheridan tropes. So if you're a Sheridan fan, you're going to love it, but you probably have already seen it. But if you're not a Sheridan fan, Stallone keeps him very honest. Like, that's the best way I can approach it. And it's a fun show. Like, it's both fun and engaging.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. The only other thing I've watched this week, and I won't say much about it because I know you're going to, like, try to catch up, although I'll be really interested if you can, like, withstand the, like, it's so stupid, because it is really, really dumb. Cobra Kai, the final season premiered, the first part season premiered this week on Netflix, and oh my god, this is such a dumb show, but, like, it's, I've lost my taste for it. I think it's been so long that, like, watching it now, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is so dumb. But I'm going to see it through to the end because, like, I'm kind of pot committed knowing it's the end.
Yes.
Which
leads into the movie. Like, I mean, like, come on, let's be honest. Like,
I think the movie will be fine. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the Avengers, right? Like, that's all, like, the nice thing is that they built up to this, right? Like, they built up to, like, unintentionally, they've built up, like, five seasons on a movie, right? Like, which is hilarious. But they're also combining all three. Like, what I find glorious is that they're combining all three franchises into one super franchise. So that's what's got me hyped to go and finish this thing off. And it's only part one, right? Part two doesn't come out until November.
So there's three parts to the final season.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's five episode chunks. The first five are now, the second five are in November, and I think the last five will be in January.
Okay.
I think they're trying to extend it so that the buildup into the movie is still there. They're so that they're not dumping it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then people being like, I forgot the movie was coming out, you know? So that's what I think they're doing. I have no idea really though. But yeah, having been so long since the last season of the show, because it's been a couple of years. Jumping back into it, like, I was just like, oh God, I forgot how absolutely stupid this is. Like, when they talk about things like the Karate Wars as if it's saving the universe, I'm just like, oh my God, I forgot how dumb this show can be. It's still fun, and if you don't take it super seriously, it's very funny. It's the only person who really, really, like, embraces the vibe of the show, I think, is William Zabka. Like, I really think he embodies what the show is actually, what it actually about? Is. Yeah.
Like, the style, like, and the tone.
Yeah. So, everybody else it feels like they're, especially the adults, it feels like they're on a soap opera, like, trying to be super serious in something that is just not serious.
Doesn't that add to the whole telenovela of it all, or does it not help at all?
Yeah, it doesn't help for me. I mean, I think at one point it did, but having the break from it and then coming back to it, I think it just, it's like a bad aftertaste now that I'm not used to, you know, like Diet Coke people that are like pot committed. They're just like, oh no, Coke Zero, fuck that, like Diet Coke. And I'm like, yeah, I never got the taste for Diet Coke. Or if I did, like, when I started drinking Coke Zero, now if I go back to Diet Coke, I'm like, I can't take this aftertaste shit. Like, I just can't take it. Like, you can keep your Diet Coke. Give me a Coke Zero. Although, they changed the flavor of Coke Zero, and it's not good anymore either. I used to be, like, I was a Coke Zero guy. I was just like, nah, this Coke Zero's a shit. Like, it's better than regular Coke. Then they changed the flavor of it a couple of years ago, and I don't like it anymore either. So I just don't drink much soda at all. But anyway, that's beside the point. So yeah, that's the things that I've been filling my days with this week so that I can avoid actual real life.
Yeah. I understand that all too well. So I've been watching a few things just really quick. So I watched two things yesterday. I mean, I've watched a bunch of shit, but most of it is for review. Like, let's be honest. Like, we both know that I do a whole hell of a lot of reviewing, so I don't really get to a lot of stuff, but I do manage to get to two things, like a bunch of stuff. But the first thing is, talk about getting a new anxiety. Wild Wild Space, which is this HBO documentary that was produced by Amblin Entertainment. And it's essentially about, it follows three private rocket satellite companies called Astra Space, Rocket Lab, and Planet Labs. And how they, back about 20 years ago, NASA kind of laid the seeds for the privatization of like the dirtier jobs in space, right? And how through these three companies, and they're off, like, you know, looking at the rise, and some of them have the fall of these three private companies and their CEOs behind them, which literally this could be, like, when you watch it, like, a lot of my mouth was agape. And it was very much similar to, like, think about, instead of it, like, if Mike Judge decided to not take on Silicon Valley and took on privatization of space, that's what this is. This isn't Space Force, which is a fucking stupid show. I don't think, like, it's a bad misstep. This,
there's parts of Space Force I thought were really funny.
There were, but, like, few and far between, right?
Yeah.
But, so, like, this actually, it's both fascinating, a car crash, and also very scary. Like, talk about new anxieties. By the end of it, I was like, okay, now I understand why Sam Ishmael wanted to make the movie he made. Oh, what was the movie last year? Until the End of the World?
Yeah, oh, something like that.
Because, like, this talks about, like, everything that's wrong with the privatization of space and satellites. It's a fascinating documentary.
Leave the World Behind.
Leave the World Behind. So there's this theory called the Kessler Theory. I'll let you guys look it up. But this is my new like, anxiety and fear of what the Kessler Theory is. And look it up, or you can wait until they talk about it in Wild Wild Space. But needless to say, I was like, now I understand where Sam Ishmael came from, why he was worried about things, and what he was specifically looking at in certain modern day concerns. But it is a fascinating documentary. And if you want to see like billionaire playboys be idiots and try to make, like, you know, try to make venture capital out of space, and one of them ruin themselves while the other two are kind of, like, altruistically, like, doing things because they're truly fascinated, not because they think that it's going to make a mark in money. Yeah, this is the doc for you. 90 minutes. It's fascinating. And I love it. Like, I really did love it. At the end of the day, I was like, wow. Wow, there's a book that this is kind of based on, and I'm going to read the book now because I'm so fascinated by this and the privatization. And they do get into Elon, and they're not fans of Elon, and there's a specific reason why. It's something that was in the headlines the last couple of years, but I'm not going to like ruin all of the idiosyncrasies of this doc and where it goes, because you think it's going to be one thing, and it really does turn into something different, but for the best. So check it out. And the other thing is pure just fun. It's pure dad cinema. It, like, when I talked to somebody about it after I watched it last night, I'm like, this is a throwback to TNT's Dudes Who Like Movies movies for dudes who like movies, and it's called Land of Bad. It just dropped on Netflix. It premiered in theaters earlier this year. Had no push. It stars, funny enough, we were talking about the Hemsworth, Liam and Luke Hemsworth, Russell Crowe, and Milo Ventimiglia, I think is his name. The dude from Heroes.
Yeah.
Milo, whatever. So it stars them. It's the basic setup is that they're all Delta Force special ops, that they're going on a mission in the Philippines, and things go terribly wrong. And one dude, Liam Hemsworth, who is an Air Force drone operator. He's not the pilot, but he's like the spec ops guy. Like, he's basically the tech guy who comes in, calls it airstrikes, calls in drone surveillance. And he's like, the mission goes truly to shit. And he's the only one left. And it's up to Russell Crowe's character, who is the drone pilot, to get him out of danger. I know it sounds very kind of, like I said, very 90s, right? But man, William Eubanks, the guy who directed it, who's a director that I really have liked, puts a style stamp on it that it's like, here's the thing. In an era where we're still doing the fucking shaky cam shit, this dude decided, let's just do clear geography and slow motion. And I will tell you, fuck, it rocks. This movie rocks.
I want to watch. So I pulled it up, and I guess I've seen it on my, like popping up on Netflix. I want to say they mentioned it on a podcast I listened to. So William Eubank, the guy that directed it, yes. He did a movie forever and a day ago called The Signal.
Yes. Yes, that, with Larry Fishburne.
Yeah, that really was fucking like weird and interesting, and I felt like he was like a director who could do something like really, really good, like if given, you know. That I know he also did like one of the, was it the last Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin, I think.
Next of Kin, yeah.
Yeah.
But he also did Underwater, which is...
I didn't see that.
They sit on that. Dude, it's a 90-minute, like, $200 million, like, Leviathan remake. Literally.
Okay.
It's like Leviathan and Abyss had a bastard child, and this is the movie. Dude, don't sleep on that one either. Like, this dude knows what he's doing. I think I saw the
trailer for Underwater.
It stars Kristen Stewart, and okay. I think that's what, like, at the time, it was 2020, right? So it was, like, literally January of 2020, and so it was, like, it was in the era where people had not come back to Kristen Stewart and said, oh, you know what, she's actually kind of a great actor. It was a troubled production from what I understood, but that movie is legit. Like, don't see it. Like,
I want to check this out because, like, I really like I pulled him up and it said The Signal. I was like, that movie, like, it struck a chord in me. Like, it was like weird and just kind of like I don't even know how to describe it. Anyway, yeah, like I thought director wise, like I thought it was really, really interesting. I know he comes from like music videos, like he did like Angels and Airways music videos. But yeah, I want to check this out. It would be interesting to see what he does with like an action budget. So,
well, okay, so this is like. This is an action movie straight up, and even like I feel like this is like maybe a $20 to $30 million movie, but what he does makes it feel like it's a $50 to $80 million movie. Like, it's very stylish, so I'm very interested. Like, it made no money. His movies make no money, but he makes these movies that are not just well put together, but they're clever and they're smart. Like, this one is smart in a way I don't think I was prepared for. And then I started seeing reviews, and it's the reviews in the post, not the reviews in, like, you know, at release by critics, but it's like people discovering it. Like, I think it was Ben David Grabinski said, it's one of the best movies I've ever watched on an airplane. Top tier B plus shit. Like, that kind of thing. Like, I know it sounds insulting, but there's no other way. Like,
no, not, I mean, I don't take that. Like, those are the kind of movies that, like, I want to be at this point in my life, especially with all that's going on. Like, I want to be entertained, man. Like, yes. I don't want to, like, I don't want to be preached at. I don't want to be taught lessons. I don't, like, you know, and I know I sound like all the guys on the other side who also feel that way. But, like, you know, it. This point, like, all that stuff is kind of just preaching to the choir almost. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need that. Like, I just want to be entertained, you know? And if that makes me, whatever that makes me, like, at this point, I don't care, man. Like, like, I just, no, the world's absolutely on fire and I just want to have a good time.
like the end of the Sam Israel movie, just want to watch Friends.
Yep.
I just want to see how ends Friends. Friends ends. Fuck everything else. But I will, okay, so I will say this much. Like, there's a moment in the middle of the movie that literally is my favorite moment of 2024. I will not ruin it because it is so WTF. That you're like, why the fuck? Oh, and when you figure out what's happening and what they're doing, I swear to God, bro, like, it's a movie that you go in knowing other than your friend saying, dude, you need to check this out. It's one of those, it's a VHS tape. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you got those, like, this is a bad example because you're fucking Russian shill and fuck him. But it was like when your friends passed you Above the Law and said, dude, you need to see this. And it's just a VHS tape that says Above the Law. And you pop it in and you go, shit, I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
It was pretty badass. That's exactly what this is. It's like, all it's right. A VHS tape of a Michael Dudikoff movie that's way better than it needs to be.
I'm gonna add it to my list. All right, so
let's get Boys out of the way. I'd rather have a lively discussion about Star Wars to end it than
I feel like I can say what I need to say about The Boys in about 3 minutes. So
yes,
this is way 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 too close to home for me.
Yep.
Like I said, I want to be entertained. There's a lot of stuff in the last few episodes that I think is really, really fun and, like, more in line with the show from the past. But, like, a lot of it is just too, like, hitting too real world for me.
Yes.
And, I don't know. I don't think they've lost the plot, but, like, I also, like, they drug their feet so much on so many things this season, and then we get to here and, like, it unintentionally mirrors so much of what's currently happening that it's just, it's upsetting in a way that I don't think the show ever intended to be upsetting. Like, it's supposed to, like, upset your sensibilities, not, like, be this thing that's like, oh yeah, hey, in case you don't remember, everything sucks right now.
Yeah, I think that Kripke didn't, like, they didn't, like, this is bad timing. This is terrible timing. Like, I mean,
they had to change the name of the finale. Like, they were like, we're just going to call it the season finale. Like, it was like Assassination Game or something like that was the original title.
It was something very cheeky that in this modern era, like, will not work. Like, or in this, it, like, just what just recently happened. And it's like, This went so fucking hard that I literally was just like, well, fuck. Okay. Like, I watched it yesterday. I watched the first two, the last two episodes, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, they went super hard. They didn't realize how hard they went. Like, I don't think that Kripke understood. Like, Kripke would never.
They filmed this months and months ago.
Exactly. And I don't know, man. Like, it was too much. It was just way. Like, I know that says a lot about, like, whatever you want to infer about that, you can infer. I'm not going to get in too much of the weeds, but I will just say this, is that it's too much. It was too much, and not in the Game of Thrones sort of way, if you know what I mean. Like, Game of Thrones is a lot, but what it's not is this, and this is just.
In the episode from last week, which you also just caught up with, Homelander rips a dude in half. Like, that's the kind of, like, upsetting thing that I'm used to the show doing. Whereas, like, there's an assassination attempt on the president, and, like, we have, like, we're putting plans in place to, like, stage a government coup, and, like, it just, like, all of it, I'm like, oh my god, man, that, like, it just makes me it makes me upset in my real life. There's no escapism to it, you know.
No, there's absolutely zero. There's none whatsoever. And my wife doesn't watch The Boys. It's just not her show. It's just really not her show. You know, and it's not because she has delicate sensibilities. It's just, it's one of those shows where, like, even at its best, sometimes it's hard. Like, it's hard to reconcile just how dark it goes. And the fact that it really does, like, here's the funniest part about this show, which I realize, which is that Kripke is basically making a very hard statement about, like, yeah, superheroes would rule this universe. Like, there's no getting away from it. Humans cannot stop this. And I don't need that in my life. Like, I just don't need it right now in my life.
Even though the show tries to do, like, oh, here's a hopeful thing, like, even the quote hopeful thing does not feel hopeful. Like, just makes me even sadder. So, like, it was so upsetting. So, and like, also, like, just from a creative standpoint, it seemed like they knew that they were going to be going into a final season. And so they spent most of the season just not doing anything, like, not gaining any ground, and that was very, very frustrating. And to end the season the way it ends, like, I was just like, what the hell, man? Like,
it's really a fucking, like, it's a real question mark, isn't it? Like, you go, what? Like, and we're not getting the season anytime soon.
Yeah, like, I mean,
the whole thing is, like,
at least late next year, I would assume.
Yeah. And, like, here's the thing, is that...
Spoilers. Did we not know? Was the Soldier Boy reveal that fucking, like, amazing?
No. It really wasn't. Like, compared to the first three seasons, this does feel like... My theory is that Amazon asked him for another season. And he was like, okay, I'll give it to you. But the condition is I get these budgets. Because I will say this. The difference between 3 and 4, you can tell the budgets got super fucking big. Yeah. But he traded urgency for budget. Like, there doesn't feel like anything... like. This season could have been done in 2 episodes of the final season.
Yep.
Because these fucking shows are running 65 minutes.
Yeah.
65 fucking minutes.
Yeah, they're long episodes, man.
I mean, and it's like, and to watch the death scroll, the fucking drain, I don't need it, man. Like, you know what broke my heart? Was the finale between Frenchie and like that whole finale, I was like, the fuck? And especially between Kimiko and Frenchie.
Yeah.
That fucking broke my heart. Like, broke my fucking heart. After they do all this bullshit, it's like, oh, by the way, it was, I don't know, man. Like, it's a wild season that I feel like could have been a 10-episode final season, with the first 3 to 5 being what this season consisted of, yep, and the last 5 being the other one. I now understand why Anthony Starr is probably going to go into hiding for the rest of his fucking life.
Yep.
Like he does such a good job. I will say this much. He does such a good job. He does what the kid who played Joffrey from Game of Thrones. He does as well of a job as the kid who played Joffrey in this role that I now, like, after I've seen the end game of it all, I now understand why he's like, yeah, I'm not fucking Homelander. I'm not Homelander. Yep. Shut the fuck up. And he's probably going to go away for 10 or 15 years. I mean, he's my age. And he's already said, like, you know, playing this role has been one of the most physically and emotionally taxing things in his life. And he's barely getting, like, he's barely getting stardom, right? Like, he's barely starting to become a big thing. And he's already like, I'm fucking done. And I know why. We all know fucking why. Because how do you grapple with the fact that you're supposed to be the villain, and you play the villain so well and so accurately for these modern times that a certain sector of the most toxic of fandom cannot see the joke, can't see the fucking joke, no matter what they do, no matter what they say about this fucking guy, and show how bad and broken he is. It's just like, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, I don't know, man. It was a rough season. I don't even know if I won't get to it. Go ahead.
There'll be enough time between this season and next season that by the time it premieres, I'll jump on. But like, I may do the, like, watch, because it'll be 8 episodes, so I'll like wait and watch, mm-hmm, the first 4, and then like wait until the last 4 air, and then watch those. Because, like, if it's anything like this, like, I don't know, and who the fuck knows where we're gonna be next year. So,
yep. No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's yeah. It was. It sucks that the show spun its wheels and then wound up being so close to home that, like, I couldn't enjoy it. And it's not because it's not well made. It's very well made.
It's almost too well made. It's almost like even the spinning wheels of the season is better than most of what's on TV right now.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the elite out there, and of the things that I've been watching, I will say this much. It's the lowest end of it. And it's not a dig. It's just, there's so much good content out there. There's so much elite TV that, I don't know, man, like, it's hard, because if a season like this and its total just literally sat there and gave me nothing other than a doom scroll, I mean, it's literally social media doom scroll. That's what this show became.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm good. That really affected me in a really weird way. Like, so much so that I was like, yeah, it's good, but it's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
I think I think you're right. Like, it comes down to the fact that this season was wheel spinning.
Yeah.
You know, it should have ended this season, but it didn't. And so, like you said, by, like, you know, 12 months from now, we'll see where we are and what they plan to do. But I don't, like, I will say this much. I don't think it's going to end well. I think that Chris Kripke has an ending in mind, and it is not. I think, okay, so, like, if I can.
I mean, I kind of hope it's just scorched earth.
That's what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be Homelander at the end by himself on Earth, a la Watchmen when
the Vic Mackey ending.
Yep. Oh man. Where it just scorched Earth and he's by himself and he doesn't know what to do. Like that's his punishment. I feel like that's the way it's gonna go. Like it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, and it'll be a bold thing that we'll look back at in 10 years and go, man, Kripke knew what he was doing, but man, like I don't see any other way of it ending. And I don't know if I'm prepared for that yet.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but who knows? Sure. Maybe in 12 months I will be. I will be.
The Acolytes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to shit on this show. I want to like this show. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to say that this is some of, like, without a doubt, outside of, I guess, the prequels, the best lightsaber stuff we've seen in all of Star Wars, live action.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Million fucking percent. Like, the fight choreography, the staging, everything with the action in this show throughout is fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only good thing I have to say about this show.
Okay. I will say this. I feel like at the end of it, I now understand what they're doing. And I don't think it's terrible, but I also want to see if they can land the ending with seasons 2 and 3. Because this is Dave and Leslie Hyland working on, how did the Sith were able to get the jump on the Jedi? This is
exactly. Yeah, I'm for that. Like, I am all for that. But the table setting this show tries to do, and I feel ultimately just fails and flounders. Like, none of the Sith shit makes any sense. None of what that guy says makes any fucking sense at all. We still don't know who he is. We don't know where he came from. There's no answers at all to any of that. How the hell is he powerful enough to wipe memories from people? Like, this is something we saw in the Clone Wars. We saw it took multiple Jedi to do this in the Clone Wars. So I'm not going to stand here and be like, that's not a Force power. We saw it in the Clone Wars TV show. And, like, it was a delicate thing. And this guy does it the way Anakin moves fucking fruit in, like, if he's that powerful, he should have absolutely demolished those people. But, like, so it's this whole thing of, like, it's inconsistent as hell. Saul, they set up, I thought, really, really well, but, like, they don't seed any of the stuff that we find out. I don't think they seed any of that early on. Like, I'm there for the, like, misunderstanding of it all, but ultimately, like, he just seemed like not the good dude necessarily that we thought he was. Like, he doesn't. How did he get this far into being a Jedi and doesn't seem to fucking understand what it is they're doing?
Right there. I feel like it's set up in the broad strokes for me. It was set up in the broad strokes of just how lackadaisical the Jedi are in approaching a threat. Like, the way that I feel like this is all set up is that there are cracks. We just don't see the cracks until the end. Though I know what you're saying, which is that it just isn't Star Wars-y enough and bold enough in the broad strokes. But I see it. Like, I went back, like, after this show, I went instantly back and rewatched it. And the first episode is very enlightening as to how the Jedi approach things, like the interactions with the Jedi.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, it's interesting because I'm not going to say that I'm in love with the show. I have a lot of fucking problems with this show, but there's enough there in the storytelling to where I'm like, okay, some of this stuff I feel like is going to be expanded on as we move forward because of the way that the storytelling is being told, the way the storytelling is being done. But that does not mean by any stretches of the imagination that there isn't a lot of stuff that I do not like about this show. There is the pace and the tone, like the tone is good. The pace is terrible.
Fucking like I am a huge, huge critic of Revenge of the Sith, specifically because of the pacing. Like,
yes,
it is a movie that takes place over the course of 6 to 8 months at least, and it feels like it happens, I've said this repeatedly, feels like it happens over the weekend in Vegas. Like, it moves so fast, and the movie never gives you a sense of that time actually passing. This kind of does the opposite.
Yes.
But it like makes
2 days make feel like 5 years.
Yeah. Like it's so fucking bizarre. And I don't know if it's because it's a TV show and like they do things like we have two flashback episodes and from two different points of view that wind up showing you almost the exact same fucking thing. With yeah, only like very, very minor changes. They mm-hmm. did not need to be two episodes. It didn't. Like, we get something similar in Rise of Skywalker, sorry, The Last Jedi, where Luke yes. and Ben Solo tell the same story two different ways.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that happens in one movie and it takes up maybe 10 minutes to almost at least over an hour, like probably 90 minutes of television. And we see 5 minutes of a different story. Like, that's fucking lazy. I'm sorry. From somebody who was not lazy in telling the same story in multiple, like, go watch Russian Doll, at least the first season. I think the second season's a little inconsistent, but the first season tells the same story in so many different points of view, but and does repeat things, but not in a lazy way. And this felt really fucking lazy when they did that. And I was like, why did you waste two episodes of this show? And then we get to the finale and you rush through so much stuff. Like, it's hard to fucking keep up, man. Like, it's so inconsistent that
it really is.
It made it hard for me to appreciate it. And I want to appreciate the things that it was trying to do. Yeah, lightsaber fights, all the choreography, all that's amazing. Introducing this idea of like how the Sith got their reemergence, like, that's something I'm on board for. Possibly showing us Darth Plagueis. Like, yes, like all of that's great, man. But like, you wait so long, like literally to the last moments of the show to start doing those things. Instead, you're teasing out characters who we wind up like not, for me at least, not connecting with at all.
No, I did not connect with the twins. I appreciate the fact that they had twins and they're using twins because that's a Star Wars trope, right?
Yeah, and this idea that they're not actually twins. They're the same person into. And like, all of that's so interesting, but you don't do anything with it?
Nothing. And I think it's not anything with Amanda Stahlberg. Like, she's great. Like, she is, like, when she is given the right material, she's great. But here's the problem is that they write everybody else so well, and they make her,
like, parts of her are very Anakin-y, where it's just like, she feels a little too adult to be acting this childish.
Absolutely. And also, here's the other thing is that Star Wars has a problem because they don't know how to write their leads because everybody else is more interesting than the lead.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it. That's the truth of any Star Wars venture is that the lead is never the most interesting person. It's everybody else.
I mean, that dates back to literally the first film.
Yes, exactly. And this here is no fucking different. It's no different, but the problem is, like, for me is that when this is a show that depends on the actions and the emotional core of its lead, and it doesn't connect in any way, shape, or form, I don't care.
I would say there's one movie, one Star Wars thing that kind of sort of defies that. But he's still maybe not the least interesting part. It's just that they didn't lean into it enough. I think that Qui-Gon Jinn is probably the most interesting part of The Phantom Menace. And arguably, he is the lead of The Phantom Menace. Only that movie gets so fucking bogged down and muddled with the political shit that you wind up not caring about any of it.
No, absolutely. It's like it's almost like you want it like I understand the connection between Soul and Qui-Gon Jinn,
which is what I thought they were trying to do, like show us like kind of that this like outwardly thinking Jedi the way Qui-Gon was, like going thinking against the council, like, you know, seeing something where maybe the council was like beholden to its dogma and he was like, no, I sense something here. But then ultimately making him kind of the bad guy.
Yeah, like, no, absolutely. Making him the bad guy. Like, that's literally like the most perfect, like the most perfect, like antecedent for it. Because literally, he's just.
Yeah. I didn't like that. I'm not opposed to him being the bad guy, but like, if you had done more to make it this story of this guy with good intentions who did the wrong thing, but you spend too much time of him like not he for most of the show he doesn't look upset by his actions, and then later he's just like, you know, I've carried this around and, you know, I'm sorry. It's inconsistent. It's so inconsistent, and it, like I said, it absolutely hurts that we get two episodes that are just the exact same thing with minor differences. Like, it's just, it was baffling. I really, really wanted to love this show, and there are parts of it I absolutely do, but like, I don't know. Inconsistent is the word I keep going to.
Absolutely. Like, it is. There's so much to like about this show, but I feel like pacing was an issue for me, a big enough issue. And the fact that they just did not know how to write the lead or the leads that it just, it, there's some great, but ultimately there's some, like, it has both, like, in the last, okay, so, like, in this sector of Star Wars, like, in the last 20 years of Star Wars, or 25 years of Star Wars, this has some of the highest highs, but it also has some of the lowest lows. Yes. Like, low. Like, so much so that I'm like, what? What the fuck are you doing? Like, and, yeah, it just, it's interesting because it feels like, again, like, my biggest complaint about this is that this feels like the first half of a season, and we're not getting the second half until season two. And I'm tired of TV shows basically spinning its wheels because they want to make more content. Like, give me the story that you're going to tell at an appropriate part to end it. Like, seeing Yoda at the end, oh, I'm sorry, spoilers, guys, at the end should have been the mid-season cliffhanger. It literally should. Like, seeing Pelagius and Yoda at the end is literally mid-season.
Maybe.
It's literally
maybe.
Episode 5.
That's not really confirmed.
Episode 6.
But, yeah. I mean, it's confirmed. It's Yoda, definitely Yoda. But Yoda, the Pelagius thing is all suspect. Like, maybe, yeah, maybe all, not. It, who knows?
They're all kind of... They're, like, everybody is saying it. Nobody is... Like, Leslie Hyland has not confirmed it yet. But... It appears so. But anyway,
David Harewood would have been an absolutely fantastic addition to the entire show. Having him show up just at the end, very frustrating. But also giving him, like, I understand why that dialogue's there, but basically having him recite the plots of the prequel films boiled down to like a handful of sentences is like, I don't want to say lazy, but like kind of like, no shit, dude. Like, we've already saw that happen.
Seriously. Seriously.
Like, who are you like, I know you're telling this Jedi that like, hey, you need to watch yourself. Cause like, you're beholden to this dogma and this is what's going to happen if you keep doing that, and laying it all out, like literally the prequels, laying them out. But who are you telling? We've fucking seen it happen. Like, so it doesn't do anything for us. Like, you know, I don't know. It's a cheap ploy, I think, you know. It's from somebody we know can do better, like, from, you know, and I don't want to lay this all at the feet of the show creators.
I mean, this is also okay, so can I say something? Like, I feel this is also Dave's fault too, because
This show predates him taking over, though.
But
like, the show was in motion before then. Yeah.
But also, they, like, everybody has been on record as saying that he guided the ship on this one.
Yeah.
Like, but
and we are dealing with an era of Star Wars that has not been explored in the live action world. So, like, maybe it does need a little leeway, but, there's just a lot of this I didn't love.
I know, and I'm there with you with, like, the high highs and low lows. But also, I'm also like, if you give me a second season, I will absolutely
it better be,
watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm, first of all, with the way it ends, if we don't get another season... The fact that this will have all been a giant waste of time is more upsetting. Like, you set this up. Give me the fucking second season. But give me balls to the wall, like, good second season. Like, you spend all this time setting up a lot of stuff that doesn't pay off or pays off poorly. You better give me a second season, and it better be fucking great. You know? But I felt similarly about Ahsoka. Like, you spend a lot of time setting some stuff up, and if we don't get another season, boy, that's going to be frustrating. You know?
No, absolutely. 100%.
So yeah, I wanted to love The Acolyte, and ultimately, like most of the Star Wars stuff of late, I felt completely unfulfilled. Parts of it show, like, much like Kenobi, Ahsoka, Andor's the outlier, because Andor is, like, I know it's Star Wars, but it's not really Star Wars. But honestly, I was bored with a lot of Andor. So, yeah, like most of this live action Star Wars stuff, the last season of The Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett, like, it just ultimately is unfulfilling, you know?
It feels like wheels spinning.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't move the needle. And so it's like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Like, what I mean? It's like,
it moves it a little, but I think it does move the needle a little bit, but it, like, in a way that, like, having your car in park and pressing the gas moves the needle. Like, when you're not going anywhere, and that needle's just gonna, like, them RPMs are just gonna drop back down to zero when you take the foot off the gas, and you still didn't fucking go anywhere, you know?
You didn't move. Yeah.
Or it's like starving, like you're starving and you've got, you know, $3 in your pocket, and you walk into the gas station and you buy a pack of Twinkies. Like, that first bite is gonna be like, oh yeah, it's not fulfilling. It's not going to sustain you. And honestly, by the time you're on the third Twinkie in the package, you're just like, the fuck did I do this for? Like,
yeah, it's all sugar.
Yeah.
It's all sugar. It's like, why do I want this? Yeah. Sugar and processed.
It's upsetting because we know they can do better. That's why it's upsetting.
Yes. Because, you know, you do the first two seasons of The Mandalorian and you go, holy shit, this can be done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like there are certain things that work, and it's just, so, like, my theory is that it's too much the goddamn money men talking about things that they really shouldn't be talking about. But this is the way of the world now, unfortunately, right? Like, we are literally beset at the point where, like, streamers are dictating everything. So we're not going to, like, you know, we're not going to get anything other than, like, a lot of, like, we won't even get first good seasons, like, I feel like. Like, it's going to have to come down burning and then get built back up. Because, like, the same thing that's happened in film is now happening in TV. Like, we thought that it was going to be not this, like, you know, it's like, oh, well, TV is so peak. But if we really watch it, we really listen, and we really kind of see things, it's all fucking wheel spinning. Like, are they really telling anything new or groundbreaking or pushing the narrative in Game of Thrones, Dragons?
No. So a couple of episodes ago, they did something that reminded me of, like, old Game of Thrones, where I was like, oh, that was really good. But, like, most of the season, has not been, it's been wheel spinning. Like, it, and not in the fun way. So, like, and I know we could probably, like, end it with this. So, like, Stan Lee had I don't even want to attribute it to Stan Lee, because I'm not sure it came from him, but, like, the idea, like, when you create a comic book character, like, yes, there's the beginning and then there's the middle, and it's actually, I think Kevin Smith, I don't know if Kevin Smith attributed it to Stan Lee, whoever it is, it's all second act. Like, it's all wheel spinning. There is no end game. Like, you can make one, but then you have to go back and redact all of that, or you know, because that, you want that property to persist. Like, corporate wise, like they need it to keep going. But you have to make that story worthwhile. Even if people jump off after that, and then new people jump on for the new story, you still have to make that story worthwhile. And they're not doing that. Like, they're not making this story worthwhile. Like, I keep showing back up for stories that, like, just keep reaffirming the fact that maybe I should not be watching Star Wars anymore. And that makes me sad, you know? Like, there's not always going to be Star Wars for me. I'm okay with that. But, like...
Yeah.
There have been eras of the X-Men that absolutely weren't for me. And then there a new era comes in. And I'm like, oh, I dig this. And then maybe it loses me. Maybe it doesn't. And then maybe in the next era, I'm like, ah, I'm kind of out on this. That's fine. But usually there's at least one part of some subsection of the X-Men that I'm like, I'm digging this one thing, you know?
Yeah. No, and I get...
Star Wars is at a point where I'm like, I don't think I'm digging any of this. And that's upsetting.
And, you know, it's like, what, like, there's nothing we can do about it other than either continue on or decide not to do it. Like, you know, yeah. to decide not to put our art caps in the.
I don't have an animated show anymore. Like, yep. The animated shows are gone.
So, yep, they are. They're all gone. I still, like, it's part of the reason why I still haven't finished Bad Batch, because...
Bad Batch, it ends so well.
but I also don't know if I want it to end right now, because that means that there's no more animation. There's none. And if anything, all this has proven to me is that, like, where my heart is in the animation. Because it's like all things with animation, right? Like, there's a level of storytelling that's done when it's done right that is better than like much of what live action can do. And that's just in general. I mean, like, you know, Pixar's like the house, like even their terrible stuff is better than most of what comes off as live action nowadays. Yeah. But at the end of it, it's like, you're right, there's so much content now that it's, at the end of the day, some of it is just not going to be for you. It's like, I'm in a fucking podcast about Game of Thrones, and like, I go hard on the fact that I love every single season of Game of Thrones, including the end, especially yeah. the end. But here's the thing, is that I got halfway through Dragons, and I was like, nope, I'm cool. I'm very cool. This is not my Game of Thrones. I don't need to fucking watch this. I'm happy with the way that the original series end. It's probably going to be the same reason why I don't watch the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
I've
got my Harry Potter. I don't need more.
Exactly.
Thanks.
I don't need more.
It can be for a new... I don't know, and maybe it's just my owner, like, Star Wars has, even when I didn't love the prequels at some point, I came back around, like, the Clone Wars started, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, and I came around to it, and, like, but, like, Clone Wars did actually get better, but, like, I don't know if I'm gonna... Like, it's been a couple of years since Obi-Wan. If I step back into that, am I going to find something to appreciate? Or am I just going to be like, it's just more wheel spinning from, like, I was digging The Mandalorian and you know, it kind of lost me this last season. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it gets better. But yeah, like, ultimately I was so... disappointed in the just the way they did everything. Like, there's a lot of great stuff here, and it's just not done well enough to excite me. It mostly just disappointed me.
Yep. No, I understand.
So next week we have Deadpool and Wolverine, and I'm excited for that. I'm probably going to rewatch the first two Deadpool movies this week. And so it might be all Deadpool talk next week.
I'm fairly certain it's going to be all Deadpool. I will say this much. I think I'm going to plan to watch Wolverine Origins. That's something I haven't done in 20 years because, I mean, it's been 20 years, I think.
I rewatched because I wrote about it. I rewatched it recently enough that I feel like I do not want to rewatch that movie.
I feel like there's going to be so many fucking jokes at that movie's expense that I kind of need to refresh myself.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then I will probably watch. I mean, it's been, I'm fairly, I think the last time I watched both Deadpool movies was like at the beginning of the year, so I think that I'm good. I don't know, but I definitely haven't seen Logan in a long time, so I kind of want to watch Logan also, just to do that. But yeah, I'm super excited, man. I'm super excited. I've muted my social medias, though I'm not on social media right now. You'd be proud of me. I'm not trying to take up the doom scroll. But all the same, I have muted stuff because I really don't want to accidentally have spoilers ruin things for me. Yep. And right now, I know that they've had premieres.
Yeah, but there's some stuff out there. So.
Oh, there is? Okay. Well, I'm glad
nothing
that I'm not
major yet, but yeah.
Okay. Well, my hope is that my hope is, like, there's this weird, funny hope for me that, like, everybody talking about the possible cameos, there's no cameos whatsoever, and it's just variants, and like they just decided to make a really great movie without cameos, though I know that that's not the case. But there's a part of me that really kind of wants like the whole Deadpool of it all, like this whole fucking, like, you know, like we've waited. Okay, so like my theory is this, like, or my thoughts are on this. We have waited since Deadpool for Wolverine to show up in Deadpool.
Yeah.
Why the fuck do I want a bunch of fucking cameos?
Yeah, I just wanted Deadpool to be those two guys.
Those two guys fucking around with each other, fucking shooting each other's dicks off. Like, for the, like, I want this to be Midnight Run, right? Where Charles Grodin's character is Deadpool and Wolverine is, like, it swaps, right? And Robert De Niro is Wolverine and vice versa. Like, I don't need anything else because, like, to be quite honest, waited a long time for this shit. Like, we waited a long time for this shit. So give me it all, right? But we both know that's not true. They're gonna do some great stuff, and
we'll be talking about it next week for sure. So, So, go check out everything else we're doing over at xwingfiles.com. But more importantly, go check out our written work over at Adam's website.
Yes, themovieowl.com, where we've got lots of stuff going on.
Eventually, there will be more of my stuff.
We are getting close to 50. We are definitely getting close to 50.
I've got a couple in the bag that I haven't shared with you. I need to do that. I'm going to do that this week. So.
All right. Oh no, I'm excited. I'm excited. We are five away from 50 because we're at 46. So, or actually four. So 47, 48, 49, 50. No, four. Sorry. I'm doing some math. Yeah. But yes, please go ahead and do that right now. There's some great content. I'm actually going to be covering Fantasia Film Festival, which is the Montreal based genre festival, so I'm going to be covering that this weekend and into next week, so be on the lookout for all of that stuff. Just go ahead and wait till next week, and we will be going full Deadpool.
All right, and we'll see you guys then. Star Wars, number two comics, number three Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, number four Mario, number five Weird Al, number six Batman, number seven Kal-El, number eight The Simpsons, number nine TV, number 10 every single band that has stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out, see it all together here with me now.